For now, let's turn to the book of Galatians in our ongoing study of this book, Galatians chapter 6. And today I am going to read verses 6 through 8. I read out of a New American Standard Bible. I will have those words up here on the screen. If you want to read along with me in your Bible translation, the words might be a little bit different, but I will read out of my NASB. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. God's word says this, starting in verse number 6. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes these words to the people in the churches of Galatia, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. Verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, three more verses in this wonderful book of Galatians. How are these words, these three verses, going to transform us here today? We all need to probably be transformed in different ways, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will do the work in each and every one of us to mold us and transform us a little more in the image of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in this expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 44. And I have titled today's message, God is Not Mocked. The exact words the Apostle Paul uses in chapter 6, verse number 7. Let's begin here this morning by reviewing the major concern of the Apostle Paul for writing this letter to the people in the churches of Galatia. And the major concern was this: false teachers, whom Paul refers to as Judaizers, had infiltrated these churches in the area of Galatia and were teaching the people that if they were not circumcised, they could not be saved. They also had to follow the laws of Moses along with a belief in Jesus Christ. And I believe this is what Paul had in mind as he wrote verses 6 through 8. So let's keep that in mind, this concept of false teachers, as we move forward in our lesson here today. First, I'm going to put Galatians 6:6 up here today. First thing. Galatians 6:6 says this: the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Last Tuesday morning, if you want to know what my routine schedule looks like, it looks like this. Mondays, I take off from doing any kind of church work. I don't do anything. I usually do work outside or do work around the house. But Tuesday mornings, I sit in front of my computer and I say, okay, what do I want to write about for Sunday? And usually I read the scripture text and boom, an idea comes to me and I take off and I start writing. Well, not this past Tuesday. I sat there and I said, what do you want me to say about verses 6 through 8? So I read several messages that were on the internet. Actually, I listened to several messages, and I read numerous commentaries about these three verses that we read here this morning, all by pastors and preachers that I trust. And they all seem to be pointing in the same direction. So if these guys know a whole lot more about theology than I do, then I'll go in the same direction that they went in. And they all taught this, that chapter 6, verse number 6, is referring to the biblical principle that the good things that should be shared by those who are taught the word of God is financial compensation. Now, I would not have thought of that, but that's what these other theologians were pointing to. Financial compensation. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Personally, I don't like to talk about this because the church does pay me a salary, and I'm quite satisfied with the salary that you pay me. But it is a biblical principle. So let's look at this biblical principle here this morning, and then we're going to talk about how it was misused back in the churches of Galatia, and how this biblical principle is certainly misused in churches today. When I go down to my local Food Lion grocery store in Verona, I get my shopping cart, I load it with groceries, and then I take it and I walk out the door. Is that right?
No.
I stop first, don't I? I stop at the checkout counter, and the girl or the guy puts my groceries past and they scans them, and I have to pay for what I want to buy, correct? I stop at the checkout counter and I give the person my money for my groceries. It's pretty straightforward. On the same hand, every 2 weeks, I go to the chiropractor in Waynesboro, and he adjusts my neck and adjusts different things. He provides a service for me. After he provides the service, I financially compensate him for the service that he has given me. I need the service he provides. He provides a service. I give him money to do so. And I think we all understand this principle of providing a service and receiving compensation for that service. So what does the Bible say about the service that a preacher or a pastor provides for the congregation? Well, there's going to share two different verses with you. The first comes from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul writes this: if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also, the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. The Bible teaches that it's no different that the man who brings the word of God to the people of God receive their living from what they do. Another verse, this one from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Well, we can see from these verses, the ones I just previously had up there, that it is a biblical principle to financially compensate the men who bring the word of God to the people of God. But can this be abused? That's where we're going here this morning. Can it be abused? Well, every command of God can be abused, amen, in some way, shape, or form. This command can be abused from the standpoint of the person who is bringing the word of God, from a person like myself, and it can be abused from the standpoint of the people who are benefiting from hearing the word of God. So let's talk about the church in Galatia first and see where they had their issues. It is believed by most theologians that the false teachers who were infiltrating the churches at Galatia were demanding payment and large payments for their services. It was very familiar, if you're familiar with the Middle Age Catholic Church, they had something called indulgences. And these indulgences were being sold by the Catholic priest. The Catholic priest would sell an indulgence to the unsuspecting people. And in return, the priest would promise that person eternal life. In other words, back in the Middle Ages, you could buy your stairway to heaven. Now, don't go singing that song the rest of this morning, okay? I know you're going to. But they could buy a stairway to heaven because the priest would sell this indulgence to the person. So what about today? Well, first of all, a similar thing was going on in Galatia. The Galatian preachers were saying, the false teachers were saying, I'm bringing this news to you. Paul brought you the wrong news. The right news is this. You need to be circumcised. Now that I've told you the right thing, why don't you give me some money in return? Well, what about today? Well, let me say this up front first. There is nothing wrong with a pastor properly investing and managing their finances wisely. But can a pastor abuse the biblical principle of earning a living from teaching the gospel in today's society? I'm going to give you a list of the 8 richest pastors in America today in 2021. And I did find conflicting numbers and names from different websites, so I stuck with one website, www.beliefnet.com. And I'll let you decide if they are gaining their wealth honestly or not. Let's look at these two people, and I will start at the top of this food chain. At the very top is a man by the name of Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland is worth $760 million. Not $760, not $760,000, $760 million. The ministry owns a $17 million jet, and the Copelands live in a $6 million church-owned lakefront mansion in Texas. Number two on the list is T.D. Jakes. He's worth $150 million. He's a Pentecostal preacher out of Dallas, Texas, who is a modalist. What is a modalist? A modalist is a person who denies the Trinity. And he claims that speaking in tongues is necessary for salvation. He's also very good friends with Oprah Winfrey, worth $150 million. Number three on our list, Pat Robertson. He is worth $100 million. We all know him as the host of the 700 Club. Number four, Benny Hinn. He's worth $42 million. Yes, you can buy a miracle if you send your money to the Benny Hinn Ministries. He will be more than happy to sell you a miracle. Number five on our list, Joel Osteen. He is worth $40 million. This man brings in 43,000 people a week into his Lakewood, Texas church, and he lives in a $10.5 million home. Number six, Creflo Dollar. He's worth $27 million. His name says it all. Creflo Dollar. His ministry brings in $69 million a year, and he owns three multi-million dollar homes. Number seven, Rick Warren. He's worth $25 million. If you're familiar with the books that he had out about 15, 20 years ago, he is the author of the Purpose Driven Life series and the Purpose Driven Church series. Rick Warren drives a 12-year-old Ford. And number eight on our list is Joyce Meyer. She is worth $8 million. She owns a $10 million jet. She owns several homes that cost up to $2 million each. And the ministry's $20 million headquarters is outfitted with $5.7 million worth of furniture, including a $23,000 antique marble-topped commode. The interesting thing about this list is that most of these preachers on this list are, to some degree, false teachers. It's not that everything that these people preach is false. They do preach some good things. But their teaching can go anywhere from Kenneth Copeland saying that he is, I am, to Creflo Dollar and Joyce Meyer claiming that they are little gods, to the disastrous word faith preaching of T.D. Jakes and Benny Hinn, to Joel Osteen, who teams up with Oprah Winfrey and teaches that all paths lead to God. And I'll say it again. I'll let you decide if you think that they are gaining their wealth honestly or not from their ministry. So how do these people and others like them and these dollar figures line up with our three scripture verses that we read today? Let's connect those dots here this morning. Let's put Galatians 6, verses 6 through 8 back up there again. There is another biblical passage that is found right in the middle of these verses. It's found in verse 7. And this principle is the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. It's very simple. You reap what you sow. Amen. You reap what you sow. That is a biblical principle that will stand the test of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, the context of this passage here is what we sow financially to the church when the basket gets passed. The next verse right after this, verse 7, which I do not have up here, says this, God loves a cheerful giver. And this is what I teach at Beach Grove Church. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, I do not teach tithing here at Beach Grove Church. Tithing is an Old Testament principle. I teach, be a cheerful giver. When the basket comes around, feel good about putting what you put in the basket. Hey, if that's 10%, fine. If it's 5%, fine. If it's 25%, fine. Be a cheerful giver. That's the New Testament giving principle. Give what you like. Just remember, but there still is the biblical principle underlying all this that says this, what you sow, you will also reap. But the principle, we have two fill in the blanks in our bulletins. And this is the first one. First one would say this, the principle remains the same. We will reap based on what we sow. And this does not apply just to what we give in the basket on Sunday mornings. It applies to all aspects of our lives. And now the question becomes this, if we're going to go back and look at Galatians. What were the false teachers back in Galatia and the teachers of today sowing? And what is their motive for doing so? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 8. It says this, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Our second and final fill in the blank would say this, a teacher within the church is either teaching to satisfy their own needs or they are teaching to honor the Spirit of God. It's going to go one way or the other. So let's look at Galatians 6, 8 one more time. And if we apply the biblical principle of sowing and reaping, we know that those who sow to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This, my friends, is the calling of each and every pastor. And trust me, not every pastor who is in a pulpit has been called to preach in the pulpit. But this is what we have been called to do, to preach the Word of God, sound doctrine, in and out of season. And the Bible promises that there are rewards for the pastor who does such a thing. On the other hand, same verse, let's underline different words. But the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Those who sow from this position up here to fulfill their own needs to the flesh will reap corruption. Not my words, God's words. And this isn't good. These people are wolves in sheep's clothing. So let's get back to Galatians 6, 7. Let's kind of tie all this together. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So what is the man sowing from the pulpit? This he will also reap. But it says this, God is not mocked. It tells us that God is not mocked. And how will a person mock God from this position up here? Well, first of all, what does it mean to mock God? So let's put that up here first. What is the definition of the word mock? Well, Webster tells us this, to treat with contempt or ridicule. Well, what is contempt? Help me out here, Mike. Contempt, a lack of respect or reverence for something. Those are Webster's definitions. So let's put them in context with our scripture verse for today. Let's take those two words. And it says this, to mock God means this, to treat God with a lack of respect or reverence. So let me sum all this up for you. Any false teacher over the past 2,000 years who has not or does not teach the Word of God with respect and with truth, or he who twists and distorts the Scriptures, or he who has other financial motives about teaching the Scriptures, to their own end are going to answer to God in a mighty way. And I would not want to be in those shoes. James 3:1, I use this one very often. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. It even tells us, don't many of you be teachers. Don't everyone be scrambling to be in a teaching position. If you want to be a teacher of the Word of God, you better get it right without mocking God and without ulterior financial motives. I'm going to put a short video clip up here. It's only going to be about 5 seconds. And it's of Kenneth Copeland. So I'm not going to quote him. I'll let him speak in his own words. And this is what Kenneth Copeland has said. Are you ready?
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Folks, there's only one person who could ever say, I am. And it's not Kenneth Copeland. It's what the Lord told Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. Moses says, well, who should I say is sending me? And how does God respond? He uses two words, I am. Folks, do you think for 1 minute that God won't come down hard on Kenneth Copeland for Kenneth Copeland saying, yes, I just smile and say, I am too? This is the ultimate in blasphemy, my friends. And I don't have it in here, but I watched a video last night where Kenneth Copeland also said this. Do you know who, he's asking his congregation, do you know who the biggest failure in the Bible was? Was it Judas? No, it wasn't Judas. He wasn't the biggest failure in the Bible. Oh, you think it was Saul? No, it wasn't Saul. He wasn't the biggest failure in the Bible. You know who the biggest failure in the Bible was? The words of Kenneth Copeland. It was God. Folks, do not be deceived. I spoke with a lady several years ago who was a big Kenneth Copeland supporter. She didn't have much in the way of finances, but she managed to send money to this man's ministry. Folks, this man is sowing false doctrine, and he only wants your money so he can add to that $760 million of what he's worth. But on the other hand, people like her are sending their dollars, which add up to be millions of dollars, to this charlatan every year. So let me come up with a conclusion for that. They're all deceived. This man is deceived, and the people who follow him are deceived also. They are all, the teachers and the supporters, they're all mocking God, according to Galatians 6, 6 through 8. And Satan loves it. After all, Satan comes disguising himself as what? An angel of light. There he is. Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Hebrews 10:31. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not mocked. Just turn on TBN or INSP or Daystar or one of those other heretical stations and watch these heretics mocking God with every word that gushes out of their blasphemous mouths. And it sickens me to hear that these people are doing these things in the name of God. It's not in the name of God. It's in the name of this. That's what it's in the name of. The false teachers in Galatia were sowing to their own flesh, and that will reap corruption. False teachers today are sowing to their own flesh, and that will also reap corruption because that biblical principle has not ever changed. And if those who are being taught the word of God sow to their own flesh, they believe charlatans like Kenneth Copeland and others, because they want to buy a miracle or they want Jesus to take care of all their carnal desires, folks, let me tell you, they are going to reap corruption too. They are just as bad off as the people who are teaching. But if you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit, that person will reap eternal life. Those who teach the word of God better get it right and do it with the right motives. Why? Because God is not mocked. One other thing that I wanted to point out here this morning is, and I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again today. You know, this position isn't always, it's not about money. It's about this. It's about seeing a bulletin that somebody left in their pew and took notes because they wanted to learn the Word of God. You could pay me nothing. If this is all I ever saw, I'd come back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and continue to enjoy this job. Because, really, it's not a job. It's a calling. And when you're called, it's what you do.